History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. I'm here with my new African shirt on, and we are at Gabba Community Church with Dr. Martin, who's an incredible man of God, part of the team here at Gabba Church. We're going to hear his story today. Welcome along, my brother. Tell us where you were born and raised.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Martin. I was born on the east side of Kampala. My parents were civil servants working on a government estate.
And tell us, did you have a religious upbringing?
Yes, I was raised devout Roman Catholic, and that meant the whole deal, the sacraments. We have family members who are priests. Mm-hmm. I went to a pre-seminary for my 13 to 16 year education, mm-hmm. ordinary level.
Okay.
So I was raised Roman Catholic, I was an altar boys leader.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about how you became a Christian.
My first encounter was, there was a crusade in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and I just walked there to hear what was happening, and they're talking about Jesus. If you love Jesus, give your life to Jesus. And mm-hmm. oh, I love Jesus. I put up my hand mm-hmm. and made the confession, but that was it. It ended there. Mm-hmm. I stayed Roman Catholic. Didn't care much for living out my faith mm-hmm. until my high school. It was also another Roman Catholic school, and classmates of mine were suspended from school. They were expelled from school because they had shared the gospel with younger students, mm-hmm. 14-year-olds, and mm-hmm. who were the 17-year-olds in the school. When they came to Christ, the school expelled them for changing religion. Mm-hmm. And when they came with their parents to explain why they have been expelled, mm-hmm. one of the kids was asked to renounce being born again.
Really?
And say, I'm staying Catholic, I am not part of the born again religion.
Yeah.
And that sparked questions in me. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, we take Holy Communion in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Why should someone renounce being born again?
Yeah.
So I began to visit their fellowship, but they thought I was a spy. Mm-hmm. They didn't lead me in a prayer of faith. But through attending that fellowship, I developed a closer walk with God.
Yeah.
And there I said my prayer, saying, Lord, if you make me a doctor, take me to medical school, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Long story short, I find myself at the medical school. I stray into a fellowship. I was living both lives. I love fellowship, but I live my own life independent of God. And in this fellowship, the preacher said, amongst you, some today must choose to serve God.
Wow.
And God is calling you to serve him today.
Mm-hmm.
So in that fellowship, I raised my hand to serve Jesus.
Wow.
And that changed my life.
Wow. And tell us what happened next.
So what happened next was unpacking what that meant.
Mm.
That very night, a group of friends of mine came, all of them first year students and the university freshmen, and we had to go out to the nightclub with them. And I was not courageous enough to say, I'm not going.
Yeah.
So I went with them, and while there, I refused to take the dry alcohol. I had the Coca-Cola, I walked around the bar, wrestling. I knew if I drink this stuff, I don't like what I will do afterwards.
Mm.
Because the goal of the drinking was to get drunk. Mm. Not just to drink, but to get drunk. And so I was like, I'm not taking this stuff. And I can't tell them I'm a Christian. But that night, about 3 a.m., we were walking back into the university. We were all going to climb over the university walls to get in because our gates were closed.
Mm.
So we had to jump over the walls to get into our hall of residence. And as I was walking, my colleagues were drunk and staggering and rolling on the road and laughing. If any girl crossed our path at that time, she was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was amongst them, this voice, which I later learned was the voice of God, said within me, Martin, you are with them, but you don't belong to them.
Mm-hmm.
You are amongst them, but you're not like them.
Mm-hmm.
You're mine. And that voice came inside of me, and my eyes were open. I could see them drunk, and I was sober.
Wow.
I could see them say certain things which I couldn't say because I was sober.
Yeah.
I could see them do certain things, and that night, the next morning, I woke up and I took a different path.
Mm.
I started attending fellowship, attending missions. Every end of semester, I would go out to preach the gospel two by two, and that just transformed my life. In 2-3 years' time, they were calling me pastor. They were saying, hey, don't say such things around Pastor Martin. And so their own posture was protecting me from a certain kind of lifestyle, and God just continued to transform my lives as I joined fellowship. I joined with believers who are preaching the gospel. We're doing one-on-one preaching every evening on the university. Such an amazing experience that grew my faith.
Now, we met the other day,
yes,
when I was doing a tour of all the facilities for Africa Renewal Missions at Gabba Community Church. How did you get involved in this church?
So at the end of my internship at medical school, I asked God, Lord, give me a hospital where I'll be a doctor in the hospital and a minister in the community. And a friend of mine visited Gabba Church. He was the leader of the Christian Medical Fellowship. And he saw Wen's Medical Center where we met. And he said, when I was walking about that place, I saw a pastor's heart starting a hospital. And I thought about you, Dr. Martin. Why don't you go and interview and see if it's a fit? It was the beginning of a 5-day prayer and fasting week for me as I asking God for direction. On the 4th day, my colleagues come and say, Martin, there's an interview for a clinic in Gabba. I think you should come. They say it's owned by a pastor and it just fits who you are, but join us. So my colleagues came to compete for the interview with me.
Yeah.
Long story short, they picked me because I said, I want to serve God with my medical career.
Mm.
And that's how they picked me. They said that one statement caused them to see the fit that I was, that, hey, here is one who wants to be a doctor, but also serve God with his career. It's been 18 years since.
Wow, praise God. Well, I was so impressed with the medical facility. I know that there's like a high infant mortality rate, and you guys have midwives, and you know, you have a lot of deliveries there that you do. You have people from all around the community come there. So just give us a snapshot of what the medical center is like.
We are a community hospital, mostly outpatient services. Mm-hmm. We have 8 beds for inpatient care. We have surgery, so if a lady needs labor and delivery, it's difficult, need a C-section, we provide that. But our mainstay has been with the common conditions that kill our people, children, malaria, tuberculosis, HIV/AIDS, and none of those can be prevented with action in the community. So Wells Medical Center is a big missions hub where the medical center gives us opportunity to hire nurses and doctors and midwives, and then we turn around and make them available to do health education in the community. And we've seen, you know, formed women's groups in the community. We formed a village health team. It's been running consistently for 15 years now. Many of them see our own heart for ministry, and then they volunteer to serve. And so the sustainability of it has been the volunteering to serve. And then with the support we get with medical missions, medical camps, those are like you know, energy that comes in to keep us going and know that our efforts are seen by God. We've seen life change. We've confronted witch doctors in these communities, preached the gospel to them, and they say, wow, the doctor confronted the witch doctor.
Wow.
And you walk into a shrine and people are thinking, okay, this doctor is going to die.
Mm.
And you're 18 years, you're still going, you're still preaching,
praise
you're
God.
Still serving. And we've seen life change in the community. We've seen malaria come down as people learn to use mosquito nets well.
Yeah.
We've seen children immunized, and so the infant mortality come down across the country, literally. Mm. And we've seen health education impact our people. Better water impact our people.
Mm.
Leaders in the community impact our people. The gospel touching certain leaders through our own lives to make them serve their community.
And tell us about your medical missions. I know that you guys mentioned you see a number of people come to Christ when you go out and do those.
Yes, we love medical missions. As a doctor who is an evangelist, and thank you for the message today, the urgency of the gospel. We love that inspirational message you shared to our entire team. It was the most evangelistic message of this conference. Thank you so much. As an evangelist myself, medical missions I have seen are the largest attraction of crowds in any community.
Mm.
Ugandans have kind of heard the gospel here and there in most communities. Some communities are still unreached. But Some have hardened to the gospel.
Mm.
Like if you're raised Roman Catholic and they say part of the songs we sing in the Roman Catholic churches, you shall never be born again. That's what it says. You are already born of water through sprinkling, yeah, baptism as a baby. You don't need to be born again. So if I come saying, hey, Jesus came that you may be born again, mm, give him your life. He loves you. They're like, I'm already born again.
Mm.
But this is a witch doctor who was baptized 40 years ago. He was an infant,
mm,
no relationship with Christ. Mm. But the medical camp, he comes to you sick.
Yeah.
And he knows you have come in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
And you're giving a free service. Mm. And you are a professional doctor. That's something they never get.
Mm.
So their hearts are softened.
Yep.
Just like Jesus went about doing good, healing those who were sick.
Come on, preach.
And as Jesus was ministering,
yes,
healing was part of the gift he gave to people that,
yes,
softened their hearts. That allowed them to see him for who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And when they softened, the word of God came through. So medical missions, like a three-day medical camp, seeing almost 400 to 500 people per day. That's 1,500 people over, mm-hmm, 3 days. Most Ugandans come to hospital with family.
Mm-hmm.
So you have large crowds sitting there,
mm-hmm,
500 plus people every day, listening to the gospel, listening to testimonies,
mm-hmm,
listening to health education messages,
mm-hmm,
throughout the day. And even within the camp, we have doctors seeing the patients, but we also have counselors providing counseling.
Correct.
Then we have prayer stations. So it's like this big church turned into multiple stations.
Wow.
Medical, correct, station, counseling station, marriage counseling, testimony station, medicine education for the family,
correct,
and evangelism.
Hallelujah. Love it. Now, you mentioned witch doctors before, and we've only got a little bit of time left, so just give us a short snapshot. Someone said today that when Pastor Peter Kasirivu came and planted this church or took over this church, it was only 40 people or something, but lots of witch doctors in this area,
yes,
and it was very poor,
yeah,
and then they were driven out. Give me a short explanation of that.
Yeah, so missionaries only came to Uganda probably 120 to 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But the church that follows Christ, that evangelical church, I don't know what those words mean many things these days, but the church that is born again, seeking God, loving Jesus,
yeah,
preaching the gospel of Jesus,
yeah,
is barely 60 years old.
Wow.
So most people adopted religion,
mm,
but kept traditional African witchcraft.
Mm.
And they call it tradition, they don't call it witchcraft.
Mm.
So in many communities you have witch doctors and they are arranged and they have chiefs and they have greater powers, those,
mm,
who have greater demonic power. So Gaba was the headquarters because the chairman of Ugandan witches was staying in Gaba. So when Pastor Peter came, churches which had come before him had collapsed.
Wow.
The pastor would fight with the members of the congregation, a false prophet would rise with the spirits of witchcraft and want to be the pastor of the church because they are seeing things and hearing things with the aid of demons, like the young girl Paul met in the town and rebuked the spirit out of the girl.
Mm-hmm.
So those demons were here, and so churches were collapsing, and Pastor Peter comes in, God gave them grace, they began to pray and fight that. Right. So as the church became more established,
yeah,
the witch doctors left, including the courtyard of the church right now. That was a witch doctor's shop.
Yeah.
He would bring his goats and sheep and they would graze and walk into the church and mock the church. One day as they were praying, they woke up one day and the witch doctor's sheep had died. And then the witch doctor began to fear the church because the powers at the church had killed his sheep. So it's that warfare happening.
Wow.
And then slowly the villages begin to change. Pastor Peter begins to have children sponsored. And as they were sponsored, their lives began to change. They began to testify on the village. And Gaba has turned around.
Amazing.
We have tin roofs, we have roofed structures, children going to school, the church is established,
yeah,
the gospel is being preached.
Praise God. And I did hear that there was compassion children sponsorship very,
yes,
early on.
Very early on, yes.
And now you guys have your own
sponsorship.
You know, African Renewal Ministries, you have your own sponsorship. And, you know, I visited the Loving Heart Baby's home. And I did some juggling and some songs, and the little boys were just going, dada, dada, dada. And it just broke my heart. These beautiful little children. I went to Bethany Village, which has got, you know, kids there that you guys, you know, you guys have got your own university. Like, there's so much happening here. And How many churches are part of your network now?
About 1,017 churches.
1,017, all around Uganda?
All around Uganda. We've planted churches, which are planting churches, which are planting churches.
Praise God.
And we're grateful for this global conference and your message that when we come together, it's time for us to take the gospel to the nations.
Amen. And that's been a whole theme, that the gospel came to Africa, and now it's time for Africa to take the gospel to the nations, and that's part of your vision. Well, it's been so inspirational to catch up with you. We do encourage people to search up GABA Community Church, G-A-B-A Community Church, or African Renewal Ministries. You can search up, and if anybody wants to come and do missions here, you know, they welcome teams from all around the world, and this summit has been absolutely life-changing for me. It's been so good to catch up with you, Dr. Martin. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.